In the midst of this series on grace, a brother wrote to me and shared some of his thoughts and perspectives on grace. So I kind of wanted to introduce this morning, just taking the time to share those writings with you. This is from our bearded brother, John Button, the one who can grow a beard in less than a day. 6 hours, George Meyer says. This is titled Learning Grace. A strikeout in spring training. A spare tire when you have a flat. An accounting error forgiven. A big enough break in the rain for a picnic. Grace is not missing the bus when I'm running late. Grace is often a cliche. Grace is a girl miscarried that I will hold someday. Knowing a photo of my grandparents is not the last I will see of them. An infant learning to walk. An adult learning to walk again after an accident. Grace is each new sunrise. Grace is a do-over. The keys I drop before crossing a busy street when I'm not paying attention. An 11th hour phone call from the governor. Grace is a new heart. Grace is my mother when I've skinned my knee and I'm bleeding and crying and the antiseptic makes it hurt even more, but she holds me and says that everything is going to be okay. Grace is a lifesaver. A spring day after a long, cold, snowy winter. Grace is looking up at a cross of my own making with my name written on it, with someone else nailed to it. Grace is a substitution. Some call it grace, and some call it love. They are conjoined twins that share the same heart. You can't have one without the other. Grace is when the world says that I'm an incompetent loser, old and out of date, with no sense of fashion, with a broken down car, and no good at whatever I try, but I go home and my wife says she loves me instead of piling on. That's grace, and grace trumps all.
Grace is God's unmerited favor for us, his crazy love. And the truth is, many times we struggle understanding it. If you find yourself struggling to understand God's grace, don't beat yourself up. Even the disciples struggled with understanding grace.
Jesus, is that you? You're alive. I can't believe you're alive. Okay, I was in the boat and I wasn't catching any fish, okay? But I heard this voice and the voice said, cast your net to the other side. And so I'm thinking, I'm a fisherman. I know what I'm doing, but I'm not catching any fish, you know? And so I throw that net over there and then a gaggle of fish pop into that net and I'm going, this is a total miracle. Who could have done that? I need to know who told me to throw the net to the other side. And boom, I look up and I mean, there is you. You're looking at me on the seashore going, it is I, the Lord. And you're alive. I can't believe you're alive. This is awesome. Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Yes, I love you. I love you. You're alive. This is so great.
Good. Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on, man. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
I love you. Yes. And I'm so sorry about that rooster clucking. I had no idea what that meant, but I do not. I'm better for it, all right? Okay.
Good. Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, I'm smiling, but I'm serious. Come on, get out of the boat. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Jesus, mere words cannot describe the passion that I have for you. I love you. You know everything. I love you.
Good. Good. Then feed my sheep.
I didn't even know you had livestock. That is so like you, though. There's something new about you all the time. That's what I love about you.
Peter,
yeah.
Do you remember the morning the ladies went to the tomb?
Yeah. We're all in the upper room trying to figure out what to do next, you know, because we thought you were dead. You know, you were dead, you know, and we're trying to figure all that out, you know. And Mary comes running up, and Mary's like saying, beehive, beehive, beehive. And I'm thinking, I'm allergic to bees. Like, keep them out. You know what I'm saying? But as she kept getting closer, I heard her correctly. She was saying, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And we're going, who's alive, who's alive? And she said, she was at the tomb, and the tomb was empty. And she said that there was an angel there. And the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay, he is risen. And so me and John, we hightailed it down there. And if John says he beat me, he's totally lying, all right? I beat him, FYI, all right, you know? And we get down there, and I'm looking in that tomb, and it is empty. There's nothing in there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And John is right there. John is so good with words. He should write a book. He is so good with words. And John said, don't you get it, Peter? This is everything Jesus said he was going to do, and you did it, and it's done. Let's go. This is so great.
Wait, yeah. The angel said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen. You've risen. Let's go.
This he is said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell the disciples and Peter. You said my name. Why did you say my name?
Peter, that's grace.
No, I don't deserve that, because that night people kept coming up to me asking me if I belonged to you, if I was with you, and I kept denying you left and right, all right? No, it'll take me my whole life to make up for what I did. It was unforgivable for what I did.
No. What I did on the cross was meant to take what is unforgivable and make it forgivable. That's my grace. It's not about you. It's always about me. That's grace, Peter.
I hope you're starting to get it. I hope it's starting to connect with you. What grace means. We can so much be like Peter and attempt to hold ourselves accountable for the things that we've done and be certain that God's grace can't fix this. But it can. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, make us aware of your presence. May your word, may your love, may a realization of what you've done be undeniable in this place and in these people today. And it's in your name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said, amen. It ain't over till it's over. Probably the single most famous quote from Yogi Berra, baseball legend. It's simple but elegant, and must have come to him in a rare moment, because most of what he said just didn't make sense. This is like deja vu all over again. It was one of Yogi's quotes. You can observe a lot just by watching. You've got to be careful if you don't know where you're going, because you might not get there. That's Yogi's quote. It can be a confusing world. Even the most important things in life can be confusing. The whole point of Paul's letter to the Galatians was to clear this up, was to clear up this confusion. He gives us three central truths to help us cut through it so that we can have some clarity and get out of this confusion. Open your word to Galatians chapter 5. Thank you, brother. I was blessed with a visit with my grandchildren for a couple of weeks. And every time they come, they are so wonderful to spend time with, and they always bring me a gift. It's usually the flu or a cold or something to that degree, but they always, they're really giving. They're really giving. I think a number of us have that. I just recently was able to realize my voice yesterday morning. So my wife was enjoying the fact that I sounded much like Mickey Mouse whenever I would holler at the grandchildren or try to keep them corralled. Oh, the energy of youth. But I digress. Let's look at Galatians 5. And let's start right from the very beginning. I'm reading out of the NIV. And it states, it is for freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Church, we've all done it. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised... We talked about this during the first message in this series. You know, circumcised, it doesn't always kind of connect with us. We don't think about it as often as I mean, these were adults. These were folks that were making a pretty serious decision and believed it to be a choice that they had to make to realize this faith, to realize this love. But Paul says at the beginning, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. If you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. The false teachers were teaching that a lot of things counted. Specifically, the requirements of the Old Testament law. Especially those outward things. And we get told a lot in the church about the outward things that help to establish, for that time, Jewish identity. For us, like Randy said, at the cafe, the ichthus fish, the bumper stickers, the t-shirts, the music that you're listening to, the stuff, the outward signs. Paul cuts through the confusion and says the only thing that counts is faith. If it is genuine, it will express itself outwardly. Not in merely symbolic ways, but in practical ways, in loving ways. I'll follow you to the homes that are broken. I'll follow you into the world. I'll meet the needs of the poor and needy, God. Again, I declare, back in Galatians, to every man who lets himself be circumcised, that he's obligated to obey the whole law. We talked about this last time, 613. 613 expectations, requirements, regulations, law, whatever you want to call it. 613. And we're comfortably adding more every day. You who are trying to be justified by the law, have been alienated from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? See, when you first came to faith, it seemed so simple. And it was certain in your heart and in your spirit. But day after day, like Peter, you think, I must do so much more so that I can gain his love. What he did on the cross did it. What he did on the cross did it. That's grace. Let's move down to verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Now, don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. That seems like such a duh statement. It really does. It seems like such a duh statement. But we have to hear it, don't we? We have to hear it. Don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I'm not a big fan of me. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of me, so what do I need to do about my neighbor? If I don't even like me, why should I have to like my neighbor? Brother or sister, if you've come to a realization, a faith in Christ, if Christ has come to dwell within you, maybe it's not you need to like. Maybe it's the one who lives within you. Maybe you recognize that the Holy Spirit has come to take residence in your heart and in your soul. And how can you not love? How can you not love? And as a result, how can you not share that with others? If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has come to live within you. Walk means exercise. Walk means move. Walk means going forward, right? Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. So that you are not to do whatever you want, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. So if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We had a phenomenal brother speak 2 weeks ago, and the words I cannot get out of my mind. So much of the message was phenomenal, and I'm very thankful that this brother, Brother Dave, allowed the Holy Spirit to speak through him. The one statement that I continue to think on, and we talk about grace, and we talk about this, walk by the Spirit so that you don't gratify the desires of the flesh. And the thing I keep thinking of is, are you a baby? Are you a baby? Or are you a 10-year-old? A baby gets, People meet that need, right? The baby needs to be changed because it just pooped its drawers. right? The baby needs to be fed, right? Right? So the baby, it's pretty easy for a baby to want the needs of its flesh met, right? Or are you a 10-year-old or older that has a better understanding and is walking, no longer being carried, but walking by the Spirit? The acts of the flesh are obvious, and here comes the list. And here comes the list that, much like Peter, we're going to hear and we're going to think, ooh, I've been there. I've dealt with that one. Yep. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Makes sense, doesn't it? Grace has freed us, not just from the yoke of the law, but the yoke of this garbage that destroys us. We no longer have to be bound by the flesh because we are set free by the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is what? Call them out. Give me one. Go. How many laws are against those things?
None.
So are we free to love?
Yes.
Are we free to have joy?
Yes.
Are we free to offer peace?
Yes.
Patience?
Yes.
Kindness?
Yes.
Goodness?
Yes.
Faithfulness?
Yes.
Gentleness?
Yes.
Self-control? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. We must wake up to the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and live in this freedom and in this hope. We must come to an understanding that what we're doing as a church, what we're experiencing, what we're being, why we're doing it, must be in relationship with the love that we have. Not with an expectation that we somehow are going to win the Master's love, because it's already been given. And I pray that this month, that this series, somehow you awaken to that. You want to read your word? Please do so. Please dig into your word and get to know the one who loves you. But please do it out of the love that you have in your heart for what's already been done. You want to pray and spend time talking with the Savior? Please do it. Do it out of the love you have for Him. I pray that you are awakened this morning in some way to a realization of what has been done for you. And you operate in this life in everywhere you go and everything you do, somehow spreading this fruit, this love, this joy, this peace, patience. Share it. You've been given grace. It's that simple.